Not easy rising twice in the same day, same morning, let alone the same day. Turn to back to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. Get myself ready here. I titled this message, "What Happens? What Happens When the Gospel Comes in Power?" When God visits a man or a woman or a congregation, what happens when God sends the gospel there in power? When you hear the gospel in power, in the power of the Holy Spirit, I can assure you this: you will never be the same. If God visits you in power, if He visits me in power with the gospel, and this happens, you know, don't think this is a one-time thing, one-time event. God visits His children in power with the gospel all the time. All the time. You cannot be born of God and remain the same. You can't be born of God. You cannot meet God and remain the same. Can't do it. And Paul goes to Thessalonica. And you can read that over in the book of Acts where he's there preaching. And they all come out to hear him. And then a great stir is made over this. But God, in all that, brings a people, an idolatrous people, and we all are. Every one of us are idolatrous before God saves us. We idol something. We worship something or someone. No one goes through this life without worshiping something or someone. And God brought a people out of Thessalonica, an idolatrous people. And He made a world of difference in them. He made their witness went throughout the world. Paul said, "I don't even have to tell people about you; they tell me about you." Isn't that wonderful? That you'd be such a witness that others talk about you. That you're an example. Now he says here, and he introduces himself as Paul and Silvanus and Timothy, they were with him, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Does that church exist anymore? In God the Father it does. That congregation is with us this morning. Look at this congregation. What we got here? 40, 50 people? Don't ever look at this congregation and say, "We have a small congregation." No, you don't. We are not gathered with a small congregation. Now, this may be locally a small congregation, but you got to, I used to run a business for a man. He used to say, "John, you need to see the big picture." He's always telling me to see the big picture. And you and I quit, we forget the big picture. Do you have any idea how many are worshiping God with us this morning in spirit and in truth? It's an innumerable company of angels and saints. We're not a small congregation this morning. Do you realize how many I can't even grasp this. How many angels are around us and listening to me stand here preach? And us sing. We are hedged about by them. Well, we're not here by ourselves. What was it Elijah did to that young man? He said, Lord, open his eyes. Let him see. And that whole hill was full of flaming chariots, full of angels. And he said, there's more with us than there are with them. You know, heaven is spoken of as, God is spoken of as a God of hosts. Not a God of a little company, a God of hosts. Hosts. An innumerable, innumerable. Thousands, 10,000 upon thousands and thousands. The church is gathered this morning in heaven and earth in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's worship Him with that in mind. Let's worship with that in mind. You cannot separate the Lord and His people. Our Lord cried on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That will never happen again. When the Lord comes, it says in His second coming, when He comes, He's going to come how? With ten thousands and thousands. They'll never be separated. There'll never be a time that the Lord goes somewhere that they're not with Him. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. There's never a time that God is not with you. Is God in you? Is Christ in you? Then where you are, He is. They're never separated. You can't separate the Lord and His people. It's impossible. No more than you can separate the head from the body. It's one body, one person. And He said, we give thanks to God always for you. We always, and remember, when we remember you in prayer, we thank God for you. We don't thank you. I remember hearing Henry say this one time in a message I've never forgotten. I don't thank you for being here. I thank God for you being here. I thank God for you. God is the reason you and I believe the gospel. God is the reason you and I are not sitting in darkness. God is the reason you and I didn't go to one of those sunrise services this morning. I told Vicki, I said, there's a lot of people. They went to sunrise service this morning. They get there early, get there before dark, get there before the sunrise comes up, and they've missed the sun. They've still missed Him. They missed Him. Paul, he thanked God for him. God's the reason why you believe the gospel. He's the one to be thanked. He's the one to be thanked. We don't thank each other for believing. We thank God. We thank God. I thank God. I thank God that He made us accepted in the Beloved. I don't thank God that anyone accepted Jesus Christ. But I thank God He accepted us. And He says here, here's evidence. Now He's going to give the evidence of salvation. These are, and the things these things are life changers. These are life changers. He says, remember Him without ceasing, your work of faith and your labor of love and your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the center of it. He's the subject of it. He's the object of it. He's the object of our faith. He's the object of our love. And He's the object of our hope. Paul says, writing to Timothy, Jesus Christ, our hope. I have one hope. One hope. And His name is Jesus Christ. That's the only hope I got. That's the only hope I've got. These are marks of grace in the soul. He speaks of their work of faith. What they did because they believed God. They believed God. They didn't believe in God. They believed God. Everybody believes in a God, or there is a God. But there's a huge difference in believing that and believing God. Abraham, it says, believed God. And what did he do? Exactly what God said to do. That's faith. That's faith. Faith is doing what God said to do. It's doing it. And it's a labor of love. Supporting your pastor here. That's not, you don't look at that as an obligation. That's a labor of love. Sending out the gospel. That's a labor of love. You know, I don't look at the world and think, I don't look at the world and say, I'll just shoot them. I look at the world and I would to God I could preach the gospel to them. I love, Paul said it was, I think it was to Agrippa. He said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Paul said, I would to God you were almost, not only almost, but altogether such as I am, except for these bonds. He said, I would to God you knew Christ. I could say that. I could say that to anyone on this earth. I would to God you knew Christ. I could look into the face of a serial killer. Now I know you say, well, you didn't have anybody go through that. I believe I could look in the face of one and say, I would to God you knew Jesus Christ. Because by God's grace, I'd be you. Now, how in the world can you say by God's grace, if it weren't for the grace of God, I'd be you? If it weren't for God's grace, I'd be you? Then turn around and hate him. Turn around and say, I just despise him. I know that, you know, justice has to be served on in this life, and people have to deal with their sins. But I look at him and I say, I've seen on television, I've seen these people going to be executed. People stand out there holding signs, you know, execute them, kill them. And even though I understand that they need, that has to happen. But I have to say, my heart is my soul. If it weren't for God's grace, I'd be in there. And I mean that. If it weren't for God's grace, I'd be there. You know, there was two of men in the scriptures named Judas. Jude, who wrote the book of Jude, his name was Judas. Then there was Judas Iscariot. What made the difference between the two Judases? Grace. Grace made the difference. Paul recognized their faith and their labor of love. Real faith works by love. It's how it works. Preaching the gospel. I want to preach the gospel in love. That's what I want to preach the gospel in love. Faith, it says, without works is dead. It's dead. And so is love. It's dead too. Just formality. And he recognizes their patience of hope in Jesus Christ. Waiting on him. Waiting on him. A person who has been born of God patiently waits for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Patiently waits. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Salvation. Let's never forget this. Salvation always, always, always begins with God first. It does not begin with us. It begins with God first. Knowing, brethren, beloved, God chose you. God chose you. Your election of God. Salvation always begins with what God has done for us in Christ. It's God's electing love that caused our conversion. It was God's electing love that sent Paul to Thessalonica. It was God's electing love that sent a man here to preach the gospel to you. I have a people. God said to Paul concerning the Corinthians, I have much people in this city. Well, how do you know? They may not accept you. Wouldn't that be a loss? Wouldn't that be a loss? There ain't much wisdom in that, is there? No wisdom in that at all. You and I wouldn't even do that. God said to Paul, you stay in this city. I have much people here. I know every one of them by name. He knoweth every one of them that trust in him. He knows every one of his children. Not one of them shall perish. And he will send the gospel their way in his time. When it's time to be born, there's a time to be born and a time to die. And when it's time to be born of God, the gospel will cross your path. It'll cross your path. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. It's not natural for us to come to God. No more than it is natural for darkness to want to be where light is. Or evil to want to be where righteousness is. If God did not choose us, we'd have nothing to do with God. I well remember a time that I wanted nothing to do with God. I know what I wanted to do. I know what I wanted to do. Exactly what it says in Ephesians 2. Fulfilling the lust of your flesh and of your mind. That's what I wanted to do. Then he says, if for our gospel, it's ours because God gave it to us. It's our gospel. It's our gospel. It identifies us. It identifies us. It's our gospel. It came not unto you in word only. In word only. You know, people will sit, and there are people who sit and hear the gospel for years and die, and all they've heard of is in word only. But then there's someone who hears it in power. Someone who hears it in power. He said, the gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. And you know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes. A man who hears the gospel in power. A woman who hears the gospel in power. Cannot remain the same. You can't. A thief is a thief no more. That thief that the Lord said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. If he was taken down from that cross, he'd have been an honest man from that day on. He would not have been a thief anymore. He would not have lived a thief no more. I might be a wretch, but I don't live like one. If I live like one, I've never been saved. I've never been born of God. Never. A liar now tells the truth. A mean man becomes a gracious man. It makes, and I've heard pastors say this over the years, it makes a husband a better husband. It makes a wife a better wife. It makes children better children. If not, if you're just as mean as you ever were, you're just as lost as you ever were. Now, it's different. Now, listen, it's different feeling your meanness than actually being mean. There's a difference. Over in Matthew 5, the Lord said in Matthew 5, I'm not going to turn over there because there's too much reading, but he said over Matthew 5, love your enemies. Pray for them that despitefully use you. Now, God will have to do something for me and in me for that to happen. For me to genuinely love my enemies. For me to pray for them. Realizing if God saved them, they wouldn't be my enemy no more. They'd not be an enemy of grace no more. They'd not be an enemy of God no more. They'd be reconciled to God and reconciled to me. Those who compel you to go a mile, he said, go 2 miles with them. It takes grace to do that. It takes the grace of God to do what he's telling us to do there in the Sermon on the Mount. Over in 1 Corinthians, Paul gives this list of sins. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's go over there. Let me look at this. You need to see it. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now look at verse 7. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not do that? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, you do wrong and defraud and that to your brethren. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Such were some of you, but you're washed. You're sanctified. You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You're not that way no more. Grace made a difference. God has made a difference. The gospel came to you in power. You're not that way no more. The tenor of your life now is after godliness. It's after godliness. Over in Acts chapter 9, we read of Saul of Tarsus, who hated the church, despised it, made havoc of it, and he became the great apostle to the church, to the Gentiles, to us. At one time, nobody on this earth hated Jesus Christ more than the apostle Paul. But God struck him down that road to Damascus. He didn't ask him, Paul, why don't you accept me as your personal Savior? He said, Paul, why are you kicking against the pricks? It's hard for you to do that now. He's not getting anywhere. And saved that man. And when Paul first went out to preach, they said, we heard of you. We heard of you. They were afraid of him. We heard it. You're that one who made havoc of the church. You're the one who was taking men and women and putting them in the prison. At first, they were afraid of Paul. And then they fell in love with him because God made a difference. God made a difference. What a difference God makes. In the book of Mark, there was a demoniac. They chained him. They put fetters on him, they said. He'd break him. He's running in the tombs naked and cutting himself. And I mean, nobody go around this man. And you know what happened when they came back the next time they saw him? He was sitting at the feet of Christ in his right mind. Life changers. You cannot meet God and be the same. You cannot hear the gospel in power and remain the same. Can't do it. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:18, he's a new creature. You are a new creature. You are a new creation. You're not a renovation. You're a new creation. God's not in the business of renovating. He's in the business of creating. He creates. You and I like to take old houses and renovate them, don't we? Oh, we like that old stuff, don't we? That antique stuff. Oh, we like that antique stuff. God said, behold, I make all things new. You can have the antique stuff. You can keep the old stuff. He said, I have new stuff. I make all things new. Behold, I make all things new. He's going to destroy all the old stuff. It's going to be gone. Therefore, if any man be in Jesus Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You are a new person. New. Our walk becomes new. It's after godliness. You desire righteousness. You hunger and thirst after righteousness. Our walk is new. Our talk is new. Our attitude is new. We rejoice in the Lord. Our goals are new. Our aims are new. Our ambitions are new. We're new. Now we think heavenly. We're heavenly minded and not earthly minded. If you're earthly minded, that's because you're of the earth, earthy. God gave us a real interest in Jesus Christ, His Son. It's a real interest in Him. It's a real union in Christ. It's like the branch and the vine. They're connected. We are genuinely united to God in Christ. We are united to Him. The convictions of sin we have and the thirst for righteousness we have are real. They're of God. And now you're light in the Lord. You're no more darkness. You're light. You're children of light. Walk in the light. And our gospel came to you in the power of the Holy Ghost. Brethren, the Holy Ghost is a real person. The Holy Spirit is God Almighty. And He's the one that indwells us. He's the one who reveals Christ to us. He's the one who leads and guides us. He's the one who takes the Word and applies it in power. This is the living Word. You know, Paul says over in chapter 2, he says, the Word of God which works in you effectually. You ever been sitting down and the Word of God come to your mind, Scripture come to your mind, and you think of it and you ponder over it and it really blesses you and it helps you? That's the Word of God working in you. Effectually. I've never had another book do that to me. I can't even remember the other books I've read. I've read a lot of books. Read a lot of books on management. Didn't really help, but I did. But this is one book that works on you. This is the Word of God here works in you effectually. The Word of God in the hands of the Holy Spirit guides you and directs you. This is the way. This is the way. Don't go there. Shun every appearance of evil. You know that, don't you? You know that. You're standing there and you say, at work comes to you, shun every appearance of evil. You know, just turn and go the other way. Leave it alone. Leave it alone. At one time we lived in the lust of the flesh. We walked after the flesh. But God, who is rich in mercy, did something for us, didn't He? Did something for us. Stopped us on our road to hell and made us a new creation in Jesus Christ. Quickened us together with Christ. Made us alive in Christ. He gave us life, eternal life. It's a mysterious operation. I can't explain it, but it happens. It happens when He comes in power. When He comes in power. And you became followers of us and of the Lord. You became followers of us. Someone said to me one time, years ago, they said, you follow Henry. I said, and so? What are you saying? Paul said, you follow us and as we follow the Lord. I said, this man following the Lord. And I follow him. And following him, I'm following the Lord. Following your pastor. Now listen, God give you a faithful pastor. Following your pastor is following the Lord. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. Now, they really received the word in much affliction. They really did. But we receive it in some, and some here may have received it in much affliction in their home, but we receive it with much affliction in the soul. There's a fight. There's a war. I never had a warfare in me until then. I didn't struggle with sin. I didn't struggle with... I just tried to figure out how to do it. I didn't struggle with sin. My struggle with was finding a way to get it done. The gospel never comes without affliction. Not in this flesh. Not in this life. Oh, you became his disciple. Am I really a disciple? Think about it, a disciple, a learner, a follower of Jesus Christ. You became a willing bondslave of Jesus Christ, even though you received it with much affliction. And so much so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. It's one thing to be an example when you're among unbelievers, but it is a great honor when you are held up as an example among those who believe. What a great honor that you're held up as an example among those who believe. And I assure you, every one of us, we are an example to somebody. You got children? You're an example to them. Neighbors? You're an example to them. Example. You became examples. A gospel that does not cause you to tell someone or to send the gospel out. It's not God. It didn't come to you in power. You can't help but tell. How many times did the Lord say, go and tell no one? And what did they do? They went and told someone. They couldn't keep it quiet. They couldn't keep it quiet. That woman at the well, she went back to that city. She went back to that city and told that whole city. She went throughout that whole city. This woman did. And that whole city came out to hear him. They said, now we believe, not because of what she said, not because of your work, but because we've heard him ourselves. That demonic, he wanted to go with the Lord. He didn't want to go back to those people. But the Lord said, you go back. You go back there. Now you go back there and you tell them what great things the Lord's done for you. I wish I didn't have to go to work in that place. Now you go back to that place where the Lord has given you and you be an example. And when the opportunity arises, tell them about the Christ. Tell them about Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. When that opportunity arises, you don't have to try to just grab people by the shirt collar and tell them. The Lord opened doors. He'll open doors and you tell them. Tell them what great things God's done for you, not what you're doing for him. You wouldn't do that if you believe the gospel. You wouldn't do that. You're not going to stand up like Donald Trump and say, I'm a good Christian. You're not going to do that. You're not going to go around and say, I'm a good Christian. You're going to go around and say, let me tell you about Christ. I want to tell you about Christ. That young man said, good master. He said, what are you calling me good for? There's none good but God. And if I'm good, I'm God. If you want to talk about good, you have to talk about God. We used to say a prayer when I was in elementary school, right before lunch. God is great. God is good. I started to bring that message this morning. I started to bring that one. God is great and God is good. He is, isn't he? He is. He's always good. My bad days, what I call bad days, are really, really days of blessing, probably. I just couldn't see it. But my so-called bad days never changes the nature of God. It never changes God. God is who He is. Whether I'm having a good day or a bad day, He's God. And from you sounded out the word of the Lord. Not only in Macedonia, but in Asia, and in every place, your faith to God was spread abroad. We don't need to tell anybody about you. They tell us about you. And they show us what manner of entering in we had when we came to you. We see what manner, the effect the gospel had when we were there preaching it. He said, we see it. It's demonstrated. It's demonstrated in your walk, your talk, your lives. What a difference God makes. And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. I ask you a question. This is called Easter Sunday. Are you waiting on an event to happen, or are you waiting on a person to show up? Huh? What are you waiting on? An event or a person? All those people this morning who got up early before the sunrise and had that service, waiting on an event. They talk about the rapture. I was in the hospital visiting someone some time ago, and a gentleman walked in the room. He said, well, I guess the rapture hadn't happened. I said, why? Because you're here? I said, you think because you're still here the rapture hasn't happened? Waiting on an event. I promise you, you wait on the event, you'll miss the person. You'll miss Jesus Christ. Waiting on His Son from heaven. Even Jesus, the one who was despised and rejected of men, crucified on a cross, risen from the dead, ascended back to the Father. That's who we're waiting on. That's who I'm waiting on. I don't know how it's all going to happen. I don't know. I don't know about anything. I don't know anything about the millennium and the Armageddon and all. I don't know anything about that. Don't ask me about it. I'll just muddy the water up. I used to think I knew something about it. I'm dumb as a box of rocks concerning those things now. But I'm not ignorant about Jesus Christ. And when I see Him, and you who believe, when you see Him, you're not going to be surprised. That's going to be the one you're looking for. That's going to be the one you were looking for. Looking for Him. Waiting on Him. Jesus Christ. Listen, which delivered us from the wrath to come. It's coming. It's on. Listen, the wrath of God is on its way. It's on its way. It's headed in this direction. And He has saved us from that. And not till then, as Bridget Harding sings, not till then shall we know how much we owe. Not till we stand in His presence. Well, I've enjoyed myself being with you today. I thank God for you. All right.